Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalm 275, the first two stanzas. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou enthroned above the skies wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. Psalm 275, stanza 1 and 2. scripture reading for this evening you can find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 84. We mentioned to you Psalm 84. But before we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and for his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Lord, we read in thy word of those seraphims who are about thy throne, and who cover their faces before thee and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we are sinful creatures of the dust. Oh, may it not be evil in thy sight as we open our sinful lips unto thee, that holy, majestic being in the heavens. And we are sinful, polluted from head to toe. We're corrupt. And we're all polluted in our thoughts and our words and our affections. Lord, we beg thee, and yet what a wonder. Thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, may we then be like those disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Give true humility as we come before thee, but also give that faith, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, what a wonder that thou hast given unto us thy day, a day that we may gather in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, then for the second time, on the first day of this week, we may again come in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us, but also especially tonight to hear from the fourth commandment that thou hast given us 6 days to work, to labor, and one day to set aside, to seek thee, to worship thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then look upon us in mercy, because thou hast made us good and perfect, with the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts, and by nature there is no desire to truly worship thee. There is no tender fear of the Lord, no awe, no reverence, no looking unto thee, no hunger, no thirst. It's all death by nature. And what a wonder that thou art yet willing to open the doors of thy house to call us together, and that we may be gathered in thy house, and that thou art yet willing that thy word may be opened and that it may be proclaimed. Lord, may it humble us in the dust, because also there are many of thy people upon this earth who do not have this freedom to come together to worship because of persecution for thy name's sake. Oh, remember them, Lord. Uphold them. Be near to them. Give them strength. Give them thy nearness day by day. Lord, we beg and pray thee then tonight. Oh, may there have been hearts prepared, that hearts may be like that good soil, that the seed that is sown and will be sown may land in that good soil, that soil that is only prepared by thee, by thy free and sovereign grace, and that the seed sown would not only land on hard ground, not only land among the cares of this world and to be choked away, but also, Lord, that it may land in soil, in hearts prepared by thee, and it may bring forth fruit to thy honor, to thy glory, of true repentance and of true saving faith. Lord, it's thy work to prepare hearts and to sow the seed. We need thy help and completely dependent upon thee, and to receive the blessings in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, it all comes from thee. It's all only of thee. May it all be unto thy honor and to thy glory as it will be. Lord, look upon us and our children and as a congregation in thy mercy. Lord, we deserve nothing. We only deserve thy wrath. And yet, what a wonder that thou hast given, that again we have been spared through this day and in this past week where others are mourning the loss of loved ones, and we may be together. Thou hast not taken any of us in this congregation away in the past week. And yet we begin this week and we do not know what lies before us. Oh, we beg thee then, prepare us for that moment. Thou hast brought us into this world, and this time upon this earth is a time to be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare us. That grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto us and unto our children. Oh, wilt thou take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that truly begin to seek thee, hearts that hunger and thirst for the living God, hearts that long to have a little token of thy favor, hearts that long to have a little sweet communion. And Lord, then they will also learn that of them that thou can only hide thy face because of all our sins. May it then be taught of that wonder, of that only mediator, of him who came to reconcile lost, polluted, unworthy sinners, wretched ones who only deserve to be eternally sent away, to reconcile them with a holy and a just God who can by no means clear the guilty. O wilt thou reveal him unto poor and needy sinners, that he is that one who came to fulfill the law for transgressors, for those who have original sin and their own actual sins, and he who came, who kept also the fourth commandment, who loved thee, who had that heart with the tender fear of the Lord, that he has that righteousness to cover rebellious ones, transgressors, those who have sinned against all thy commandments. Lord, we beg thee, work that urgency in the hearts of sinners. Wilt thou give that life that seeks then to be reconciled unto thee, and to also reveal that way in thee and of thee through thy Son? Lord, may sinners be born again here in Cortland, boys, girls, teenagers, adults, older ones. O wilt thou translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O may sinners become lost sinners, guilty sinners. May they become those poor and needy beggars at thy throne of grace. And may they be like that publican crying out, beating upon their breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, may they have that cry as we heard from thy word a few weeks ago. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Lord, give opening then to proclaim thy word of that precious gospel that is in that precious Savior, thy dear Son. Work mightily, irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit. We pray, remember all thy dear people. Thou knowest their needs. Thou knowest the cares, the riddles, the questions, maybe confusion in their hearts and lives. Thou knowest those who again have gone astray. Bring them back. Thou knowest those who need instruction in doctrine. Thou knowest those also who need comfort. And Lord, thou hast called thy servants to proclaim, comfort ye my people, for thou hast provided everything for those poor needy beggars. O Lord, we beg thee, come among us, work mightily, work irresistibly, give much prayer, give errands and errs, and that there may be criers and sires begging thee to pour forth thy precious Spirit to renew hearts, to strip sinners of everything, to lead them in the midst of death, to find life only in him who is the Prince of Life, of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then, work among us for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Help to listen to thy word. Help to proclaim thy word. Take away everything. Bind up Satan who whispers and who would hinder to listen, hinder to preach. Cast him out, Lord, and give us a good hour in thy house, in thy favor, and under thy blessing. Oh, may there be a crumb from the master's table for those poor little unworthy little dogs. Oh, may they have a crumb. May they be refreshed, nourished by thee on thy day through the preaching of thy precious word. Oh, that there may be water, that there may be a little refreshment in the souls of thirsty ones. Lord, thou hast promised thou wilt never forsake the works of thy hands, and thou wilt make hungry, and thou wilt feed, and thou wilt make thirsty, and thou wilt refresh them with thyself. Lord, remember then the whole congregation. Again, we beg thee, comfort the mourners. Care for all the sick and afflicted, the lonely ones. We pray that thou would remember then also all those in Bethany Care Home, those who cannot gather in thy house because of old age and different cares and concerns in the body. Visit them there. Oh, wilt thou also sanctify to their hearts that there's only one step between them and eternity, that the old must die. Oh, remember those who are old and who are not prepared. Oh, we beg thee, prepare them, and yet we can all die. Young can die, middle-aged, teenagers, adults, but also older ones. Lord, we beg thee, teach us and make us that we would have haste for our life's sake, and that thou would draw us unto thyself, unto thee, who alone, in whom there is life. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all the cares and the needs also throughout thy kingdom. Thou art the King of the church, and Lord, thou wilt provide. Thou wilt send out ambassadors. Thou wilt provide what is needed for thy church. Thou wilt give elders. Thou wilt give deacons. And thou wilt also give pastors. And so, Lord, we beg thee, remember all the elders, all the deacons, also here in this church. Help them, Lord. Give that they may be like Stephen, full of the Spirit, full of faith, and that they may be used as instruments. Lord, they feel so insufficient in themselves, but oh, may they be encouraged. Faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. In all their weakness and in all their incapabilities, may it bring them on their knees before thee, needing thee. Lord, we pray that thou would also thrust out laborers. There's a great need in our denomination and throughout the world and on the mission field. And Lord, thou hast instructed us that we are to call upon thee, that thou wilt thrust out laborers. Lord, it's thy work. Wilt thou call men that have thy grace unto this work? And wilt thou provide? Wilt thou gladden us with thy deeds also in the coming year? Remember him who is called to go out and speak an edifying word. Help him. Remember the theological instructors. Give them some rest. And when again, the Lord willing, at the end of August must again begin their labors, help them, Lord. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember us also as a nation. Oh, may we beg thee that thou would convert the prime minister. Oh, at times we can be so discouraged with what we hear and what we see of what he is doing, the laws he is making, and how he is also acting. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give them the tender fear of the Lord in his heart, and that he may rule this nation according to thy word and according to thy laws. Lord, remember all those whom thou hast called to govern this nation. Oh, we pray, Lord, turn us back unto thee. Give that thy word may yet be proclaimed freely, and that thou would bless it. Look upon us in mercy, Lord. We sin against thee, against all thy commandments. And may we beg thee also tonight, especially for all our sins against thy day. Lord, there are millions in this nation that thy day is just another day. No thought, no need, no desire to worship thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy, and may there be given the fear of the Lord, that thy commandments may be desired to be obeyed, all of them, Lord. Lord, remember that blood also that cries unto thee for vengeance, as babies are murdered in the womb, but also that great sin of euthanasia. Lord, in this nation, may there also be laws to protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. Lord, have mercy upon us. We have forsaken thee in paradise, but we've also forsaken thee as a nation. Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. We are only well deserving of thy just judgments in this nation. Lord, we beg thee then, give a revival. Give that sin may be hated, and that righteousness may be loved, and that thy word may be a light upon our pathways, in our homes, and also in government. Lord, we pray, remember us all, as many are traveling, but may we remember that we are also all traveling to a never-ending eternity, and that we need thy grace, thy free and sovereign grace, that we need life, that we need to be covered by the righteousness of thy dear Son, and that we need to be washed in his blood, that we need him, that without him we cannot meet thee in peace. We will only meet thee in wrath. And so, Lord, we beg thee, bless thy word richly here in Cortland. Wilt thou do above all that we can think and ask for thy name's sake? Lord, we pray then, give us a good hour tonight. Give us the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen and also to preach. Lord, we deserve nothing. Have mercy and give that we may go home and say it was good to be in thy house today because the Lord was among us. Oh, we beg thee, give prayer. Thou art a God-giving one who gives prayer but also answers. Look upon us in mercy, we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us now sing from Psalter 250 from Psalm 92, which is a Sabbath day psalm. Psalter 250, how good it is to thank the Lord and to praise thee, Most High, accord. To show thy love with morning light and tell thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. Psalter 250, all five stanzas. And the collections for tonight is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. dear congregation, Psalm 84 is an expression of a man who loves Jehovah. He loves and longs to have communion with the Lord. It's a man whose strength is in the Almighty God, in the Triune God. He's a man who longs to be in God's house, to experience the refreshment of his soul by being in the courts of God. He does not want to be in any of the places of sin. Why? Because that's a place without the favor of God. He longs to set aside all other responsibilities and for a time to just be in God's house and to be refreshed and to experience sweet communion with the Lord. He delights the Lord's day and he longs to worship the Almighty God. So how would you describe this man? This is a man who loves the fourth commandment. And this is the heart of a true Christian. So is this your heart? Did you hear your heart explained when the elder read Psalm 84? Or when I also explained some of these marks of grace? Do you look forward to the Lord's day? Do you cherish one day of the week, the day that the Almighty God has instituted? Is the Lord's day a joy? Do you look forward to it? Or is it a burden? Is it a burden? I have to go to the worship service twice on Sunday? Let us read together now the fourth commandment from Exodus 20, verses 8, 9, and 10. The fourth commandment from Exodus 20, verses 8, 9, and 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we hear the fourth commandment from those verses in Exodus 20. And what God teaches and instructs, according to the fourth commandment, the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism have summarized in Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. So let's now read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. And you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 74. Question 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I may cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord, to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So first I'd like to draw your attention to a little phrase that we read, and it's only in this Lord's Day, as becomes a Christian. What does that mean? Does that mean that if you obey this commandment, by doing that you become a Christian? No, that's not what it means. It refers to how a true Christian, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who belong to Christ, those who are God's children are how they should live on the Lord's Day. Or in other words, it means that how a sinner views the Lord's Day or how a sinner lives according to the Lord's Day testifies whether he or she is a recipient of grace, is a true Christian, yes or no. And so tonight, the theme is the fourth commandment. First thought, a day devoted to God. And in this Lord's Day, there is many different aspects that we can focus on. But we will only focus on a few tonight with the Lord's help. First, a day devoted to God. Because we read that I, especially on the Sabbath day, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. So a day devoted to God. Why? What is that? How do we do that? How do we not do that? So that's the first thought. Second, a life devoted to God. And then we see, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me. And then the last thought, we will conclude with considering that last phrase, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So with the Lord's help, the fourth commandment, a day devoted to God, a life devoted to God, and then we consider also the eternal Sabbath, where there will be absolute perfect devotion to worship God in perfection. And so with the Lord's help, a day devoted to God. It's a congregation. The Lord, in his goodness and his mercy, gives us a day, one day every week, to delight in him. That's the purpose of the Lord's Day. God gives you and me, in his infinite wisdom, a day of rest. A day to be physically refreshed, but also a day especially to be spiritually refreshed. So one day of the week, he knows that we need physical rest. That's what the purpose, one small purpose of the Lord's Day, to be physically, have some rest. And now think of those that work 7 days a week. What a taskmaster to live in the world. But he also especially gives us one day of the week to be spiritually refreshed in his house. So the Lord's Day is a gift of God, the Sabbath day. It's a gift of God. So what a gift of God. And the Almighty God made the Sabbath for man. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 2, verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is a gift. A day that we should be devoted to God. And the Almighty God gave Adam in paradise the Sabbath day. Man was created first, and then the Sabbath day was instituted that the man may rest from on the Sabbath day. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he came. He did not come to abolish the commandments. He did not come to abolish the Sabbath day. He came to fulfill the law. Some say that he came also to abolish the fourth commandment. That's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ was not abolishing. He fulfilled the law, but he also brought truths again of the Sabbath day, which was so clouded under all the wrong teachings of the Pharisees. So the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 2 is pointing back to the word of God, of what God gave already in Genesis. Open your Bible to Genesis 2 and we will read the first 3 verses about the Sabbath day. Genesis 2 verses 1, 2, and 3. And there we read, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the Sabbath day was already from the beginning of the world. It was also in paradise. And now in the context of Mark 2, the Lord Jesus is correcting the false teaching of the Pharisees about the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus Christ opposed legalism, human teachings of his law, but especially about the Sabbath day. The Pharisees had made the Sabbath day a burden to poor and needy sinners. That day was to be a day to be devoted to God, to delight in the Lord, to have an opportunity to gather with his people to worship the Lord. It was a day of spiritual joy and worshiping God, the triune God. Congregation, we are also called today to have the ability to work 6 days of the week and to have one day of the week to set aside to be devoted to worship the Almighty God. What is it to worship God? Well, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. But what does it mean to worship someone? What does it mean to worship the Almighty God? To worship someone is to give them honor, to praise them, that they are so worthy of. And God gave one day, that Almighty Creator, yes, your Creator, and he who recreated you, children of God, he gave you one day to worship him for who he is. So who is worthy to receive all honor, all glory? Children, who is? You know. It's the Almighty Triune God. And that is why we read in Psalm 99, verse 9, exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. So he is to be worshipped, especially through the whole week, but especially on his day. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 4, verse 10? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And now, the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is about having one day of the seven devoted to God. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This commandment doesn't begin with thou shalt not. No, remember the Sabbath day. We hear a kind, precious exhortation coming from the Almighty God, that Heavenly Father. Remember my day. Remember me. Remember my day. And he delights when sinners obey him and remember his day, and especially remember him. The Lord is saying, my day should always have a very special place in your heart and in your life. One day devoted to me. Never forget my day. Remember my day. Devote one day to me. And he is worthy that we would devote one day unto him. Remember to keep my day, and to keep it according to the purpose that I gave it unto you. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose of the Lord's day? What is the purpose to devote one day of the week to the Almighty God? Well, the Lord knows what is good for man, not only for his body, but also for his soul. It was a day that God is pleased to refresh, to nourish sinners with his grace, especially on his day. And he says, remember my day, devote a day unto me, because he delights to bless sinners, especially on his day. So why do we read in the Lord's, in this explanation, as you can read in the answer, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and to contribute to the relief of the poor. Why did they write this? Because our forefathers studied the word of God, and they saw, especially as we focus on tonight, that one day of rest, to diligently frequent the house of God. So they saw through the Old Testament and the New Testament the principle of devoting one day to worship God, because God is worthy to be worshipped. So first, the commandments is all about God. It's for him, for his worship, and in worshiping him, sinners are blessed by his grace and by his spirit. And now we think about worship. Think about what we read in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Or what we read in Psalm 132, verse 7. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. But then what happened when the temple was destroyed? That they didn't have a place to come to worship. Then did they not have a special day? What happened in captivity? They knew the fourth commandment. It doesn't end. No, it's forever until the end of the world. And in heaven is the eternal full Sabbath day of rest. So what did the Israelites do when they were in captivity? That is when they began to worship in places called synagogues. Synagogue. So they still had a day devoted in the Old Testament when the temple was destroyed, also to gather in the synagogues. And then we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he went to the temple, but he also went to the synagogue. He devoted also one day to worship his Father. We read in Luke 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So we see through the history of the Old Testament, God's word, the example to worship, to have one day devoted, and also through the New Testament. So maybe you're wondering, why do we not gather on Saturday? Why do we not devote Saturday? Why do we devote Sunday? Well, that's because that's the day that the Lord has risen. The Lord has risen. And we also see that change in the New Testament, that they gathered together on the first day of the week. But maybe you're wondering, why? Why do we have two worship services? So many churches today, they have a worship service in the morning and the rest of the day is free. Is it biblical? Is it biblical that we devote one day and that we also have two worship services? Yes. Well, where did they get this from? Why do we have two worship services? That's because in the Old Testament, they had a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. And we followed the example, the principles from the Word of God. One devoted day, two devoted worship services. Listen to what we read in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness. And now listen, in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. So morning and night. And what is it sad to say today? That today in the last 50 years, so many churches only have one worship service. Who do you think is rejoicing? And may we never ever stray from faithful devoting one day and two worship services. Who do you think is rejoicing? Satan. Why is he rejoicing? Because the work is cut in half. The gospel, the law and gospel is only preached once a day. He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. And we read, as our forefathers have said, diligently frequent the church of God. Is it a delight for you? Do you long to come to diligently frequent the church of God, to come to the worship service, to listen to the preaching of law and gospel? Do you come with every opportunity in congregation? I may be thankful, because I know in many other congregations, even in our denomination, that at night the church is half empty. But I'm thankful. But may it be done in truth and spirit. And yet, I need to exhort you for faithfulness to continue. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So why does God require sinners to devote one day of the week, to gather in his house to listen to his word? Because the Lord is especially pleased to work in his house on his day in the official worship services. That he is pleased to work in the hearts of sinners through the foolishness of preaching. And now think, if you willfully neglect to come and to gather together, and the Lord desires and delights to work on that day, is that not ignoring his command? Is that not willfully rebelling? Think of what Thomas missed when he was not with the disciples. And is the Lord not worthy that we would come as whenever we have the opportunity to gather under his word? He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. This is a day that we may set aside all other responsibilities, all other cares. And we need Lord's help for that, because we can bring all our troubles, all our cares that are in our hearts and our minds into God's house. But may we beg him, take it all away, that we may come and just sit and listen to the word of God. The purpose is that you be devoted one day unto him, and that no other distractions may fill your heart, but that you may just listen to the word of God and be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So why does he require sinners? But now why does he require his children, especially his children, also to gather on one day? Are they not saved already? Why do they need to come to the worship service? Well, to worship him. But why? Does the Lord have a specific purpose that they would come to gather on his day? Yes. What? That he may nourish them. That he may nourish their souls. That they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may be fed in their souls. He delights on his day through the preaching of the word, and also by the use of the sacraments, to nourish their souls. And do they not become so weary? Do they not become so hungry? Do you come to church with a long, with a joy to come to God's house, to long for a little favor, sweet communion, but also to be fed in your soul with the bread of life? Have you ever sat on the Lord's Day in his house through the preaching or in the sacrament, and your soul was refreshed by the preciousness and the sweetness of the gospel? Oh, through the word and through the sacraments, by the application of the Holy Spirit, yes, and by God's grace, poor and needy sinners, his dear little lambs and sheep, are fed by the bread of life. And so he exhorts, devote one day to me. Remember the Sabbath day. Continue to gather together, dear lambs. I want to feed you. I want to care for you. I want to instruct you. And there's so much to learn. But also, congregation, you who are yet lost, the Lord says, remember my day. Devote one day. It's a day that I especially delight to give sinners new hearts and to teach them of sin, to draw them unto himself. And so may I ask you,
How do you view the Lord's Day? Is it a special day? Do you wake up Monday morning reflecting on the Lord's Day? And do you already look forward to the next Lord's Day, to come into His house, to be able to sit, to be able to give over all your burdens into His hands, so to speak, and that He would look upon you in mercy and refresh your soul? Is it a delight to you to devote one day unto the Almighty God? And have you? Have you ever tasted a little something of His mercy and of His grace through the preaching of the gospel or through the sacrament? And if that is true, then you long for the next Lord's Day, the next sacrament, if it is well, that you may again experience something of His favor and of sweet communion. Is your heart like what we read in Psalm 84, verse 10? For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In the past, maybe he dwelt in the tents of wickedness, this poet, because he writes about it. Maybe he knew. He knew the emptiness. And maybe that's you, trying to fill your heart in with the world. And you have tasted its emptiness. Its emptiness. It just leads all to death. But then the Lord renewed you, and he drew you into his house under his word. And then you received a little refreshment. Refreshment. And so we read that this poet, this child of God, says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You could say, how lovely. That's what it means. He says, how lovely. How lovely is thy courts. He longs to be there. He delights to devote one day. Is that your heart? Are God's people's hearts always like this? No. Why? Because of their flesh, because of their wretchedness, because of their unbelief, because of their sinfulness that remains in them. And yet at times, those poor beggars, those wretched ones, may just sit in God's house under the word, and they may listen. And what? What do they experience? Listen to what one old divine said. To be in the courts of Jehovah and to feel his love. Not just to hear about it, but to feel his love. To rejoice in the person of the anointed Savior. To survey the promises and to feel the power of the Holy Spirit in applying the precious truths to the soul is a joy which worldlings cannot understand. But that which true believers experience, their souls are ravished, meaning filled, radiated with the mercy and the goodness of God. So may I ask you, how do you view the fourth commandment? It is how you view it is a picture of who you are. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inner man. Do you delight in the law of God? Also, the fourth commandment. Do you confess to be a Christian? And you have no delight in the law of God, the fourth commandment? True Christians love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they also love his law, and they delight in his law. Open your Bible to John 14, and we'll read verse 21. John 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So who is a true Christian? One who loves the commandments of God, also the Lord's Day. And so I must say, if you have no delight, no delight in the Lord's Day, no ever looking forward to coming into God's house and just to sit and listen to the word of God, no hunger, no thirst, No delight at all. I must tell you, you have no reason to think that you are a true Christian. A true Christian has in his heart a delight to devote one day unto God. So the fourth commandment. But not only a day devoted to God, it becomes a life devoted to God. What should be the result of hearing the word of God on that one special, beautiful day? What should be the outcome of listening by the application of the Holy Spirit? Well, we read, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me. So what should be the effect? Well, sinners are born again. And what should be the effect in the life of those sinners who are born again? That when they come to listen to the preaching, there should be a longing to live holy, to flee from all sin, to forsake all sin, breaking from all sin, hating all sin. So may I ask you, has the hearing brought life? But even more, is there a long for holiness? Do you long? Did you look forward to listening to the law of God? Finally, we're in the Heidelberg Catechism. I want to know how to live for the Lord. He poured love in my heart, and I have love for him. How may I live unto him? I desire his favor, and if I sin, I miss his favor. Hearers become doers. Yes, by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. They become doers of what? The will of God. What is the will of God? That they obey his commandments, that they worship him his way, on his day, and live a life completely devoted to him, living in the fear of God every day. The true Christian is not only a hearer, but by God's grace, he becomes a doer. A doer. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 2 verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And James wrote in 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. No, Paul and James are not teaching justification by works. Not at all. But he's speaking about a true Christian. Those who have true faith, they will begin to live a holy life. They will not only look for forgiveness of sins, they will also look to be made clean, to live according to the law of God. Not only justification, but also sanctification. They will begin to long to follow all the commandments of God and to delight following, obeying him, his will according to the whole law of God. Now let's go back to that phrase a minute. As becomes a Christian. Remember, what part of the Heidelberg Catechism are we in? In gratitude or in sanctification. And what did we read in Lord's Day 33? What did we read? About true conversion. True conversion. And that's of two parts. Mortification of the old man. That means fleeing and hating sin. As we read in here. Mortification. Fleeing from sin. And what is the other part? Quickening of the new man. With love, joy in the heart to live according to the will of God. So the fourth commandment. That is forsaking all pleasures. Pleasures also on his day. Open your Bible. Let's listen to what the Almighty God says about his day in Isaiah. Isaiah 58 verse 13 and 14. Isaiah 58 verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So the fourth commandment is to devote one day unto the Lord, but also to devote a life unto him. And part of that is forsaking all your own pleasures, even things that you may do lawfully on the other 6 days, to devote a day to him and to vote, have a devoted life to him, especially on his day, to forsake all other pleasures and to delight in the Lord, to live in holiness according to his will, according to his way. And so may I ask you, do you long for the Lord's day? Do you have one devoted day of the week? Is Sunday, the Lord's day, a sacred day to you, that you long to come to God's house to hear the word? And out of that, is there also a desire in your heart to live to him, a life devoted unto him, to forsake all sin on the Lord's day, but through your whole life? And so the fourth commandment, a devoted day and a devoted life. Let's sing now from Psalter 228 before we conclude with the last phrase. 228, stanzas 1 and 2. Sorry, 2 and 3. 228, stanzas 2 and 3. In thy blessed courts to worship, my God, a single day is better than 1,000, while far from thee I stray. Though in a lowly station, the service of my Lord, I choose above all pleasures that sinful ways afford. 228, stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you.
Congregation, why did the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism end this Lord's Day, this commandment, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath? What do they mean by this? A biblical day of rest, a devoted day to the Lord, and a life of holiness is the beginning of eternal rest, an eternal Sabbath to be forever with the Lord. If there is no beginning of one devoted day with your heart to worship in spirit and in truth the Almighty God as a guilty sinner, and to live a life devoted unto Him with your hearts, there will be no eternal Sabbath. But there is coming an eternal Sabbath. There will come a fulfillment of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is about worshiping God, and there's going to come a day where we will all be worship in absolute perfection. And now think, when a poor needy sinner comes into God's house, burdened with his sin, and he receives by God's grace that burden is lifted off through the mercy and the grace of God because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a poor needy sinner that comes longing for a little token of the favor of God may receive a little smile from heaven and to taste a little something of the communion of God. This is a foretaste of heaven. Because in heaven there will be no more sin. It will be forever taken away. But there it will be the fullness of favor. There it will be the sweet communion forever. Lord, with thee I abide. There will be the eternal rest. And therefore when they experience a little something of the rest upon this earth, by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in their soul, then they can say, as the poet, Psalm 116, verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Oh, when they may experience by God's grace and the application of the Holy Spirit on His day in the preaching or through the sacraments, something of forgiveness of their sins, but even more of a wonder, something of His favor and of communion. It's foretaste of what is coming. It points to what is coming. And that is such a blessed people. That is the blessed people that who here already taste something of it. And they may begin no more. They should begin to anticipate what is coming in the fullness of that sweet eternal communion forever with the Lord, and to forever enter into that eternal rest. And so and thus begin in this life. Begin in this life, Church of God, lambs and sheep of the Good Shepherd, looking to that fullness that is coming. Every Lord's Day should lead to an ever-increasing anticipation of the eternal rest, Church of God. Is that you? Have you ever thought about it? That each Sabbath day is a Sabbath day closer to eternal rest, but that when you come home, that you long for that eternal rest, because now on Monday you need to go back into the world, so to speak, you need to work, and you need to do all kinds of responsibilities. Yes, it's not sinful, but on the Lord's Day, when you may be fed, when you may be refreshed, when you may have a little token of favor and communion, and then you go to work and you miss it, does that cause in your heart and in your soul a longing to be forever delivered from all sin and to be forever in His presence, to never ever miss His favor, and to never ever have that sweet communion ever interrupted by sin? Do you, do I long for what's coming? Every Sabbath day should be a teaching of what is coming. Oh, that good shepherd, he longs for it. He longs for his sheep to be with him. That was part of his high priestly prayer, to be with him, to behold his glory.
And his lambs, his sheep, should have the same longing, a longing to be delivered from what? To just go to heaven and see the beauty? No, that's not it. But to be delivered from sin, from this wretched body of death, to be delivered. Why? Because then I can just live one complete, devoted eternity with a complete, devoted life, completely, fully, for the Almighty God. No more sin. No more sinful thoughts. No more sinful words. No more sinful deeds. No more sinful actions. To be forever with the Lord. The Sabbath day should be a day that devoted, a life of devotion, but also a life that leads us to anticipate, to look forward, Church of God, of that eternal Sabbath rests. My friend, what is the Lord's day to you? Is it a delight? Is it a delight or is it a burden? If it's a burden, and may I say it simply for teenagers, is going to church boring for you? Older ones, do you come because you have to quiet your conscience? Is there no hunger? Is there no thirst? Is there no longing to worship him, to fear him? I must tell you, my friend, from my master, you are yet dead in sin's trespasses, and there's not coming an eternal Sabbath day of rest. If you die this way, if you die in your sins, then there's coming a day that you will enter into eternal wrath, forever separated. No ever communion, no mercy, no grace, forever under his wrath. And so I say to you, make haste for your life's sake. Go home and bow your knees and beg him for grace to renew your heart, and that his day may become a devoted day in your heart and in your life, and that you have a devoted day life to live unto him. Oh, we can be so religious. Also in our churches, we can be so religious. We can be so spiritual, so to speak. We can know so many truths, and we can have so many rules, so many do's, so many don'ts. But is there love? Is there love for the Lord? Is there love for that Savior? Is there a need for forgiveness? Have you ever become a wretch and lost? The Pharisees, they had over 300 rules just for the Sabbath day. They looked so good, so impeccable on the outside. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say about them? Whited sepulchers, so beautiful, but inside full of dead bones. Is that still you, looking so good? And yet, in your heart, all death. My friend, you need to be born again. You need to repent. You need to flee to that only Savior before it is forever too late. But Church of God, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when you will be delivered, forever delivered, to enter into that sweet communion with the Lord. Oh, may we have more devotion for his day, for his honor, for his glory. May we be more devoted in prayer for our fellow travelers to eternity. Lord, save them. Save my family. Save the people in this church. Save the people in our town. Save the people in the world for thy name's sake. Lord, sinners are going lost. Have mercy. Work mightily, powerfully. And beg him for his grace, but also to pray also for Zion, for his name, for Jerusalem, for his people, that they may also have more devotion, grow in holiness, flee more for sin, for his honor, for his glory, and live more like lights upon this earth for him. And that they and all the church of God may long for that coming eternal Sabbath. No beginning of the Sabbath in the heart here. There will be no entering into that eternal Sabbath. But if there is a beginning of a devoted heart unto God by his grace and by his Spirit, there should be a devoted life, and there should also be a looking forward to heaven. What's heaven? What's heaven? That's to be with him, to rest, free from all sin, all corruption. What is heaven? What did Job say? That man who went through such trials, through it such deep ways, and in all that affliction, he couldn't find him on his left. He couldn't find him on his right. He couldn't find him before him and behind him. But Job also was given by God's grace to know that he would rise again and that he would see his Savior. And he said, I will see him with my eye. Heaven is not looking through a glass darkly. Heaven will be in the presence of the Almighty God and that precious Savior who redeemed his people with his blood. And they will look at him and he will look at them. It will be looking into his eyes and him looking into your eyes and seeing him. Nothing to blur, just to behold him in all his beauties. And what will be the result? Casting the crown at his feet and worship. Perfect eternal worship will begin forever and forever. We read in Psalm 65 verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's heaven, satisfied. Satisfied in him, and that Almighty God, and that Almighty God satisfied, resting and rejoicing in his people. My friend, will you be there? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou richly bless thy word, work mightily by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again and long to live with one day of the week devoted unto thee to worship thee. Lord, wilt thou do it for thy great name's sake? Thou art worthy, and thou hast the power to deliver from death and to give such a heart, but also a life devoted unto thee. Oh, we beg thee also that thy dear people, those who have been made alive and long for thy day, may also flee more and more from sin to live in holiness. And may there also be that anticipation, that longing to be delivered from this body of death, to be with thee forever. O Lord, look upon us in mercy. May we acknowledge thee for thy help today to listen and to preach, for without thee we can do nothing. May it all be to thy honor, to thy glory. Lord, remember us all in this week. Oh, we beg thee, take none away unprepared and prepare us. May we be brought together in the middle of this week for a midweek service. Guide to a word to speak, give opening, and give a blessing upon us. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Forgive all our sins, also in listening today and in preaching. Blot it out in the all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 419. 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. Blessed is the man whom thou hast chosen and bringest nigh to thee, that in thy courts, in thee reposing, his dwelling place may be. 419, stanzas 2 and 3.
dear congregation, to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.